What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 98. All right, I can't believe we're already this close to 100 episodes in. Thank you all for sticking around, listening every week. I appreciate it. Today, I want to talk to you, kind of go macro and then micro. Macro, why has our country struggled so much with like ending wars, with actually winning them? Might be different than what you think. And then I also want to break that down into the micro level and how it actually applies to us. All right, so if you haven't already as well, one of the biggest things is, hey, Derek, when are you guys going to have more meat at Crosshome Meats? Why are you always sold out so fast? Here's how you stop that from happening. You go to crosshomemeats.com, you sign up for a subscription. We have a light, we have a heavy. So if you're a small family, maybe even single, you can go with the light. Every single month, it gets delivered right to your door. It's on autopilot. You don't even got to think about it. It just shows up. It's like magic. Okay, if you want to go heavy, same thing. You go through a lot more meat like I do. Hey, you're going to go heavy every single month. It just hits your doorstep. You don't have to worry about it. Go to crosshomemeats.com, get subscribed, never worry about us being sold out again. All right, let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name is Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Primal King Podcast. As always, super excited to have you on. Yes, this is a solo episode, as what sometimes happens. Schedules get moved around, things happen, and we end up with a couple back-to-back solos. So hopefully that's cool with all of you. I know that I am fired up to be able to talk with you today. All right, so I want to talk to you about some of these wars that we have and how this directly applies to us individually. So I want you to think about we've had, at least here in the U.S., over the past several decades, a few different wars that we've, let's say, embarked on. The war on poverty. Okay, we had that. We had the war on drugs. We've had the war on terrorism, right? That was kind of like my first year out of high school. I remember watching like we're having this global war on terrorism and obviously everything that led from there. And now we've moved into the war on COVID, right? It's I think both of the, you know, Biden and Trump have both talked about the war on COVID. And so I wanted to talk to you about why it is that we are unsuccessful. Because if you look at every single one of these, I think there's a pretty good argument to be made that we have not, as a country, been successful in any of these, right? Poverty's actually gotten worse. The income gap between the poorest and the richest among us has widened. That's not a political statement. It's just fact. You can go research that. The war on drugs has been a disaster. In fact, now we have pretty much like more drug use than ever before and a lot of really, really bad drugs. The war on terrorism. I know we're withdrawing troops, or I think I saw that somewhere. So you could make the case that we're kind of wrapping up that war, but kind of what went into maybe install some freedom around the world turned into a 20 plus year kind of never ending problem issue, right? Again, not trying to get political at all with any of this, but I think this is all, hopefully you'll agree, pretty objective, pretty middle of the road coverage of these things. And then when it gets to COVID, we've had this war on COVID, right? I think Trump said at one point, like, this is a war. And like, as soon as that was said, I was like, oh gosh, like I feel like I have almost like trauma from all of the wars that we've gone through because they haven't gone well. Right. Really, since World War II, like we haven't done well with wars on anything. And so I guess here is why I feel like this is so important to each of us individually. OK, so I hopefully you can kind of see like this macro version of it. And then let's get into the micro version of it, which is us individually. So the biggest reason why I believe that we've been unsuccessful in the war on poverty, the war on drugs, the war on terrorism, and why that was such a hard deal, and now the war on COVID, is because we never actually define what success is, right? So, like, let's say the war on poverty. There is a lot of very well-intentioned programs put into that, you know, a lot of different welfare types, And there truly are people who need welfare, right? Like, I will go to the grave believing that we should, I believe, try to do what we can for the people who are less fortunate, right? Like, if someone has a serious mental issue or, you know, someone who is physically unable to work, like, I don't want to see those people homeless and starving to death, right? Like, I believe that as a noble country, we should want to help those people. Now, how far we go to help some of the people that maybe aren't in one of those two categories is another discussion. We can have that another day. But I do believe that there were some good programs put in place. But what was the problem with the war on poverty? What was the problem with the war on drugs, right? We had the Just Say No campaigns, and we had, you know, celebrities and the first lady at that point doing all these commercials. Just Say No, not even once, right? The DARE, that was big when I was in, like, younger in school. The DARE program, all of those types of things were pretty big back then. And so then it becomes one of these deals to where, I guess, like, the reason why I feel like we were unsuccessful in so many of these, and that doesn't mean that we didn't make strides and we didn't have, like, maybe small ones, but as a whole, even on the war on terrorism, right? Like, it has nothing to do with our servicemen or servicewomen. It was more like, how do we define it? How do we define success in the war on terror? And how do we define success in the war on drugs? How do we define success on the war on poverty? Or let's take it to the current scenario, the war on COVID. Because initially the war on COVID, I thought the objective, the success measure, was 6 weeks to slow the curve or 3 weeks or whatever it was. And now it's like, we don't really even count deaths anymore. Like, we count cases. And it's like, if someone gets COVID and they get sick and get over it, kind of like me and my family did, like, I don't know that that's necessarily something to be freaked out about, right? If you get sick and you die, obviously, that's probably something to be freaked out about. And so it's almost like with COVID, we've changed the metric, right? We've changed what success is. And so now it's this kind of ever moving target that I'm not sure what will get us past COVID. Is it a vaccination right now? Is it a certain amount of people wearing masks everywhere they go? Is it a certain case rate? Is it a certain infection rate? Is it a certain hospitalization rate, a death rate? Like, I don't think anybody actually knows what success means in this war on COVID. Same exact idea with the war on poverty, the war on drugs, the war on terrorism, right? It was like, we go after Al-Qaeda, and then once we pretty much obliterate them for the most part, then it's like, we got to go on to Iraq to get these weapons of mass destruction that don't actually exist. But anyways, we're going to go install some freedom and democracy and all that fun stuff, right? And so it was like, okay, well, what was success in the war on terror? Like, I thought we were going to punish the people who brought down the buildings. But now, what, we're just going to, like, go provide some democracy and, like, again, like, I don't want this to be political at all when I talk to you about this. The biggest thing that I guess I want to convey, and how this actually applies to us, even when we remove the current event side of this, is that we all do this exact same thing, right? We do this exact same thing. How many times have you heard somebody be like, I'm going to be successful when I grow up? Oh, cool. What does that mean, though? Right? Because for one person, success is getting to the point to where you live off the land and you don't have any bills and any debts and any, like, anybody bothering you. That's 100% success for one person, right? On one end of the spectrum. On the other end, success is you have a yacht, you have a mansion, you have, you know, a beach house in, you know, Florida, whatever. Like, that is success. And then there's probably a bunch of people in the middle that are like, success for me would be like having a great family and, you know, having money to be able to pay my bills and not be stressed out about it, and maybe a solid income or a job or a business, right? Like, there's so many different ways that we could quantify what success actually is. But the problem is that most of us don't ever actually do that, right? Most of us don't actually know what success even looks like. I've heard tons of people, yeah, I'm going to make a ton of money. Oh, really? What's a ton? Because for the guy that's homeless, a ton of money might be $100 in a week, right? For the hedge fund manager, a ton of money might be, you know, $10 million in a week. So again, it's so subjective. And unless we get clear on what it is that we're looking to accomplish, it's very, very hard to actually have success. Again, if we would have said, here's the war on poverty is, we want our poverty rate in this country to be less than X percent. And we're going to do everything we can to work on this program until we get it down below whatever that number is, right? The war on drugs. We're going to have this war on drugs, and success for this mission, this mission would be the best way to put it. Success on this would be when we have, you know, below this amount of illegal drug use in our country, right? And we're going to outlay a plan that will allow us to get all the steps and all the measures in place to get the drug use below X amount. The war on terrorism, right? Like if we would have got up there and, you know, you would have heard Bush at the time or one of the generals or whoever, you know, Secretary of Defense, whatever, get up there and be like, this is how we win this war. We go in there, we root out all the main holds of Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, and then we get the hell out of there. And if the vacuum is filled by more terrorists, like, we can't worry about that right now. And I know, again, like, there's different arguments. I'm not saying this is what should have happened. I'm just saying if this is what we would have been told, we would have been like, okay, cool. Like, we can go in there and obliterate these guys in freaking 3 months from now, right? Not 20 years from now. Not trying to root out every single terrorist in the cave and then also trying to build up democracy and then also all these other things. So, again, I'm not saying what I think we should have done in that scenario, but I'm saying that it was like this moving target. Again, I think that's why I have so much frustration with the COVID stuff. Because a year and a half ago when all of this started, if you would have told me that the way that we get out of this, which seems to be where we're trending right now, is that literally you'll have to have a mandatory vaccination in order to go and do anything, people's heads would have exploded. They'd have been like, huh? We don't even have a vaccine for this thing, right? And then even at the end of this year, when the vaccine first came out, like there was a lot of people on the other side of the aisle from Trump that were like, yeah, I'm not taking that vaccine. I mean, Trump rushed this thing out to try to get reelected. And now they're the same ones being like, if you don't get a vaccine, you can't eat indoors in New York. Like, it's just crazy, right? But I think one of the reasons why that seems so crazy is because of the fact that we, as kind of the general population, we have no stinking clue what success even looks like. Is it a vaccination rate now? Is that success to get us past COVID? Is it a case rate? Again, like I mentioned earlier, is it a death rate? I don't think any of us actually know. So then what happens? Okay, there starts being confusion. There starts being people that maybe don't want to hit the goals because they don't actually even know what they are. The exact same thing happens in our life, right? So, and here's like a very personal thing for me, which was when we started our business with Crosso Meats, I remember being like, yep, I want to build this into be a huge business. And then like, it was like, okay, what does that actually mean though? Is that a multi-million dollar business? Is that huge? Is it a predictable business income? Is it, you know, impacting a lot of people by being able to provide jobs? Like what does a huge business even mean? Right. And I'm sure most of you out there who have a business, maybe you've even said this to yourselves. And so what I've done recently, and the reason why I wanted to talk about this, because one of the things that I've done recently, and you've probably noticed this if you follow like the Crosso Meats stuff at all, which is we've really tried to push the subscriptions. Okay. And I'll tell you 100% just wide out in the open, why we're doing this. Okay. So even on the podcast, in fact, you probably just heard the intro that talks about this. What I want with this business is I want predictability, right? There's always going to be a certain element of a business that there's just no way you can predict for it, right? There's going to be things that come up. There's going to be, you know, ebbs and flows in the economy, or, you know, maybe in our case, beef prices go up or down, feed prices go up and down. Like there's a lot of variables. So I've looked at this now and I've transitioned to where what I feel like success is for right now with where we're at is to hit a certain number of people every month on our subscription. So again, you've heard the intro and like the little ad that I do for Crosso Meats. And it's like, okay, I want you to subscribe and get on our monthly subscription. Why is that? A couple different reasons. Number one, I think it's good for our customers because they don't have to go to the store to get their meat, right? Like it just comes to their door once a month, or, you know, if they're local, they come and pick it up once a month and they should pretty well be set with their meat. From a business standpoint, this is predictable revenue. It's predictable inventory. So we know every month that on the first of the month, we are going to be shipping out X amount of our meat and it's just already gone, right? So we're not having to worry about selling that at the farmer's markets or worried about selling that online or maybe new people buying or repeat customers. It's like, no, we know the first of every month, this amount of money is going to come in, very predictable, right? This amount of meat is going to go out, very predictable. And so what does that do? That makes my life easier, right? And so like that is where my main focus has been. Because yes, I do, I guess, want to have Crosso Meats be a big business. But I have to quantify that at a much more micro level and put in goals in place that I know are defined So that way, ultimately, yes, it will be a big business. It will be a high producing revenue business. But I know right now, my number one metric of, again, quote unquote, success is how many people do we have on our subscription? How many people do we know that every single month are going to come back and they're going to just be auto-billed for the meat that comes in? That is my main focus and my main goal. And having an exact number on what we need to be in order, what we need to be doing in our monthly subscription to have that that metric of success be met. And then at that point, we'll adjust it again. And then we'll keep that same goal. Because again, guys, like this is where the specifics matter, right? Like I know every month what to expect. This is predictability. This gives me personally peace of mind. I know there's people that don't like predictability, right? There's people that are like, man, I just go out there and wing it. I try to make as much money with my business as I can, or, you know, I just kind of let the cards fall where they may. Perfect. If that works for you, great. I don't like that. That stresses me out, right? Like that type of stuff really does stress me out. I want more predictability. So again, for me, success, what does it really mean? It means predictability. That's what success means for me. Right? And so here's what I would encourage you to do today is that if you have these goals, okay, maybe it's a business goal, maybe it's a body goal, like the other thing. Okay, let's just talk about fitness real quick. So a couple of years ago when we first moved back, it was about 6 months into after we moved back, we took a bunch of money and basically bought a whole bunch of weights and stuff like, gosh, weights are ridiculously expensive. Total side tangent. But anyways, we bought a bunch of weights, some bars, a row machine. Like we set up our shop down below the house. So it's like a full on gym. Right. And so, excuse me. So we did that and we started doing CrossFit and we were part of a gym down in the old hometown that we were. That we used to live at. And so we would just basically get these cool little workouts that she would program to our phone. And so I remember having this goal of, I want to be fit. But what was weird is that I started getting more fit, but I never actually got to where I wanted to be, but I didn't really know where I wanted to be, which sounds weird, right? Like I was losing weight. I was getting more kind of muscular, if you will, a little more lean, but like I still had a fair amount of belly fat. And at the time it was like, I just want to be more fit. And now like looking back, it's like, well, no wonder why I didn't actually get fit, because I don't even know what the hell fit meant to me at that point. I don't know if that meant losing 5 pounds and toning up, or if that meant losing 30 pounds and, you know, like being like what I now consider to be fit. And so like when I did 75 hard, the good thing about that, and again, I know you guys probably are sick of me talking about it, but the good thing about it is that it is quantifiable. As far as the goals that you have, it's very like drink a gallon of water every day. Okay, perfect. Like if you want to be successful with the 75 hard challenge, it's literally like this, 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 right? Like, and you guys probably all know it. If you haven't checked it out, I encourage you to, whatever. But the goals are very simple with 75 hard. But because it is simple, doesn't mean it's easy, right? But because it is simple, it's very easy to achieve those goals. It's very easy to go 75 days in a row drinking a gallon of water, because you just know every day that in order for you to be successful in this challenge, you have to drink a gallon of water, right? In order to be successful with this business, you have to do this, this, and this, right? So that is, I guess, what I want to really try to convey to you, because again, like kind of coming back to this fitness thing is I decided that in order for me to be fit, I would have to get down to 205. Like that's just me personally. I'm 6'2", right? Like I was about, I would usually hover anywhere from, I don't know, 230 something to 240, right? Even doing CrossFit, like I would maybe, you know, trying to eat right a little bit better, right? Maybe get down to like 232, 233. Well, then I finally defined fit as, and I remember telling my wife about this, is I need to get to 205 and then I'll reassess from there. And so once I had that goal, right, very, 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 very like defined goal. It wasn't like, oh, I just want to get fit now. It's like, no, like I believe that in order for me to be fit, I would have to be probably 205 or less. And once I get to 205, I'll be able to see if I feel fit. And then from there, maybe the real number is 195 for me, right? Like maybe the real number is actually 202, whatever. But it's like, that is my goal, to get to 205. And so I completely changed my diet at that point. I continued working out hard because I had a defined goal now to where it's like, okay, I know exactly where I need to get in order for me to be fit. So I still kind of had the big goal, I guess, of being fit, but I had to break it down into something achievable, something that's quantifiable, right? Something that I can actually see, have I hit my goal? Not just have I been successful, but what does success mean? Now, how do I get to it? So when I hit that goal, It was really, really rewarding, right? Because I'm under 205 for the first time since like my first year of high, or my last year of high school. And so that was really, really rewarding, but it was also like, man, this was so much easier because I knew exactly what success looked like for me. I knew it because it was 205. That's exactly what it looked like for me. And so again, rather than just being like, oh, I want to get fit, I want to be in better shape, like that's fine. And maybe if you're just first starting a fitness journey, just saying, hey, my goal is to get in a little better shape. I get it, but it's like, how are you going to do that? Make the goal to walk 5 minutes every day. That's quantifiable. Now you know what success looks like. If I just get out and I move for 5 minutes every day, then that is success for me, right? Or I get out and I do a 30-minute walk every single day. There's absolutely no excuses that come up. It's a non-negotiable. I don't care how busy my day is. I don't care if I'm doing it at midnight. Like that's a non-negotiable because that is my goal and that is what success looks like for me. You'll do it. So again, to circle all the way back around, the war on poverty has sucked, right? Because we don't know what the goal is. The war on drugs has sucked. The war on COVID has been ridiculous, right? Because we don't have a defined success metric. Now, I hope that we can take all of these kind of rough experiences that maybe our government has implemented and understand that maybe we're doing the exact same thing. Maybe we're actually making the same mistake that we get so mad at our government doing because we're actually not defining what success looks like. We're not actually defining how to know if we've won that war. We have no clue, right? We have no clue if we won the war on becoming successful or if we won the war on fitness or any of these things because we actually haven't defined what the winning terms are. So I would encourage you today to take a look at the goals that you have, go out there, figure out what success looks like and be very, very clear with it. Very clear. And if that's a couple different things, perfect. All right. So get out there, get specific. Let me know how it works. Have an awesome weekend. We'll be back next week with a great guest.
I absolutely love having you as a listener of the Primal King podcast. If you don't want to miss out on the great content, then it's time to hit that subscribe button right now. Do not be left behind. And then share your thoughts and feedback with a written review of the show. I read every single one of these, and it helps me make sure I am serving you best. It also allows others to find this content, and it builds this community. Make it an awesome day, and we'll see you next time.